This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Tech Tuesday.
Indeed, a Tech Tuesday. It is indeed a Tech Tuesday where we touch our matters on or touch base on all matters tech related. You know how I get. I get so nerdy every Tuesday. I love it. I love it. I love it. Can I just say, today's conversation is one where, listen, I advise you to get a pen and paper, because when I heard about this, I thought, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take notes and I'm going to record this conversation. The second thing is I'm going to go try this thing at home, because one way or another, we need to solve our internet crisis and our you know, fiber crisis in this country. Let me ask you this. Do you know how to make the internet? And I know it sounds like such a trivial question, but do you know how to make Wi-Fi? How do you make the internet? What is the process that that happens where you can click on your phone, www.google.com, and Google appears? Do you know the process of it? How does it go from somewhere in the airwaves into your home, into your streaming, so that you get to enjoy it? How do you make the internet? How do you create your own internet? I mean, as I said, it's one of those conversations that you really want to be glued to. And of course, you've got questions for our guest this afternoon, 0861-987-000. That is the number to dial to get a hold of us in the studio. But let me welcome Mandla Ngobo, who is the founder and the CEO of Accelerator Technologies there. And we talk a little bit about Mandla. You've been running this fiber and broadband installation company for probably over 10 years now. But thank you so much for your company this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to you and your listeners.
The internet, right? It's the most fascinating. It's so funny how we've become consumers of it, but we don't necessarily question how did we get to the part where we consume it.
Sure.
Right? So the process of it.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds like such a basic question, but I wonder how many of us actually know. How do you make the internet?
Sure. All right. So thank you, Faith, for having me in studio and to your listeners. And I hope that today I get to simplify some of these concepts, right? Like, how do you make your internet?
Yeah.
So if you think about it, the internet is a collection of information that sits somewhere in the world, right?
Yeah.
So you make content, there's a video, then you upload it, and then someone else somewhere in the world consumes it. So if you then think about it in that sense, as the internet is just a collection of data points scattered around the world, and how we access it is through connectivity and the Wi-Fi at your house. So it's not really made by one person, or there isn't a process where you're sitting down and you're saying, I'm making internet, but through content creation and putting it on a server somewhere, that forms part of what is called the internet. So multiple nets, hence internet.
Multiple nets.
Yes.
That's internet.
100%.
It's the weirdest terminology.
Yeah,
sure. We never think about these terms,
100%.
Right? Internet is multiple nets, yeah. Multiple connection points.
100%.
I never knew this. So, okay. So it starts from uploading. So I've got a video. We've got the content.
Yeah.
I take the video and I upload it onto, let's say I take it on and I upload it onto YouTube.
Sure.
But that's also already an internet server. That's already an internet. That is already an internet platform, right?
Yeah.
An online platform, so as it were.
Sure.
But in order for us to get to the online platform, maybe you can start by taking us to the scratch.
Okay,
right?
Cool.
So let's go before www, before all of that,
sure.
Right? And in terms of how it started before there was an internet.
Okay, cool.
When we first had
the dial tone,
right?
Yeah,
so take us to the time of dial tone.
Okay.
How did the story of the internet actually start?
All right. So how it started was used in the military as a method of communication, right? So in the military, you would have to send signals to, let's say we're at war here in Africa, but we've got ships that are stationed out maybe somewhere by Europe, and we need to communicate with the counterparts. So we need to send signals to them, alerting them of what we're observing where we are. So it started really as just a signaling protocol, right? So where you would send a signal and it'll be decoded on the other side. So decoding just means that what you're sending on this end, it's a tone. On the other side, that same tone is interpreted into something meaningful, which
like
could
Morse
mean,
code.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. So yeah. in its basic form, that really is what it was. It was a method of communicating in the military, right? So now when we take it to the question that you asked, so you create content here at home or here in studio, and before getting it onto the Google servers, you can already expose that to people around the web. So you don't really need Google or YouTube for your content to be consumed on the other side of the world.
Okay.
All that needs to happen is where you've created it, which is what, let's call it a server. So it's a box, it's a computer. You create it and it's stored there. On your phone, for example, it's stored there. And someone else needs to access it. So what they need is they need to know the IP address. So it's really just like an address of where, for example, where you stay. I'll need to know if I need to come fetch something. I need to know, okay, this is where you stay. This is the address. You give me the address. I drive there. I come fetch the content. The internet, though, is you give me what is called an IP address, which means that if I go to that IP, and it's unique. Each device has a unique IP address.
They can never be duplicated?
It can be recycled. But at any point in time, there is one IP allocated to one device. I'll talk to you about why it should be recycled.
Yeah.
But before I talk to you about that, okay, so now you give me your address. This is where your content resides, your server, which is that 196.11.12, whatever that IP is. So I punch that onto my device here on the other side of the world, and it takes me to your server, right? So really, I mean, if you think about it in that sense, it's just the highway. So that's where the internet comes in. Because for me to get to you, if I'm using my phone, I must connect onto a tower. That tower belongs to Vodacom or MTN. Mm-hmm. I'm connecting to it wirelessly. But from that point on, when it hits their tower, then it goes via, it could be a fiber connection or it could be a copper connection, which takes me straight to your house.
Okay.
Right. So there's some signaling in between that'll say, all right, so this person has entered this IP address. Therefore, it means they are in the content that they want to access is in South Africa or it is in Europe. Then they hand it over to the next signaling center. So it's a chain of the signaling centers. The next signaling center will then say, okay, we know where this stays. So we know where this is based. So let's forward it to the, so it keeps getting forwarded until it reaches your house.
Okay, and you know what's so funny? All of these things we're talking about as a procedure, but it literally is a click of a button.
100%.
And it happens, right? Yeah, so all of this is happening within the click of the button.
Milliseconds, yes.
Right? So are we saying that from the phone, and I love the phone example, the phone, it connects it to my tower, which will be the signal, right?
100%.
That stores that. That will be the Vodacom and the MTN, whatever.
Tower, yeah.
That will be the tower that stores that signal. From there on, that signal in itself sends messages to how is that. So let's use a photograph that I want to share.
Sure. Yeah?
So, and we said we're not going to be limited to a specific platform. We're going to say it's going to be done via an IP address.
Yeah.
I can share it on an IP address.
Yeah.
The photograph is the content.
Sure.
The content that is the photograph gets stored onto my phone.
Yes.
Teach us about how, or tell us about the process that is involved from the photograph that is on my phone right now to the time that I want to share it onto this IP address so that Valerie can receive it in Germany.
Okay. So I think there's two things there. So let's talk about it as what you are pushing over to Valerie in Germany or what you're exposing so that Valerie and other people elsewhere in the world can access.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So there is the one way where I'm saying I want this to go to a specific person. So when I'm doing that, so you can do that. So, I mean, for that, you don't really need, so when I talk about an IP address, it just says that there is this server that has got information, or this vessel that has got photographs.
Yes.
And if you want to access photographs that are in this vessel that Faith has exposed, you must go to this address. If you go to this address, you'll only see what Faith wants to expose to the world.
Okay.
But you could also alternatively say, I want to expose it only to certain people. And this is still on your phone. Mm. So it's not on a server somewhere. It's not on Instagram, on YouTube or any other social media platforms. It's still on your phone, just to give you a little bit of privacy. So there you also specify that here's this piece of content that I want to expose to a specific person. Now, how you go about it is your phone is going to have to be taught to do this, because there's all sorts of security layers on your phone which prevent people from accessing your phone. So you've got to install certain apps. So these apps or these programs are called web servers, right?
Yeah.
So these web servers are designed to expose your content to either anyone or only people that you have specified. So these web servers have got that technology built into them, where you are saying that I've got a web server on my phone. It historically used to be something that sits on desktops and lately laptops, but now it sits on phones because phones have become
so
sophisticated. So you install a web server on your phone. Once you're running this web server, you then drag the photo that you want to expose, put it on the web server. The web server allocates, it doesn't allocate it, but it shows you what your IP address is, so that if someone else wants to connect to you, they can find you through the IP address. Right now, your phone has got an IP address, but you may not have been aware of this because it's you're only aware of the phone number, but it's got an IP address and what we call a MAC address as well. So these are the ways that if I am trying to access your web server, I can't access it through your phone number, but I'll need your IP address. So the web server facilitates all of that. It's got all of that built around it.
And these are all wires in the air. So you were talking about the military, right?
Yeah.
And the signal was sent via Morse code.
Sure.
The Morse code. So you're teaching us, but I'm very practical.
100%. Yeah, sure.
In my practicality, it's I see Eskom wires, ne?
Yeah.
The poles, the Eskom poles, electricity poles.
Sure.
I know telephone wires, right?
Yeah.
They run. You can see them. They are tangible.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I see the wires that are, or the fiber that is built under the sea,
yeah.
Right?
Sure.
The ones that's, you know, at the bottom of the ocean. And these are long cables that are running cross-continentally that allows us to receive this fiber or these connections, these signals,
yeah.
Right? They're all of this stuff is running in the air, yes. Or under the sea.
It's a combination. It's a combination because for me, via my phone, to make my content accessible to you on the other side of the world, I need to use microwave signals.
Mm-hmm.
So microwave signals are what the wireless operators, what we call the MNOs, mobile network operators, and these are the Vodacoms, Cell Cs, Telkom also. Yeah, so this is what is allocated to them, which is, I think you've heard lately, spectrum.
100%.
So that is what is referred to as the microwave signal. So they get allocated a spectrum, which allows you to communicate wirelessly, the same way you would communicate via a cable, via a fiber cable. But it makes it all uniform, right? So it means I can connect from here to that tower that we look, if I'm looking out your studio, the telecom, I can connect to that tower. And then from there is a fiber cable that runs underneath to what is called a data center.
Mm-hmm.
So, and from that data center, so it'll go to whoever owns the tower, it'll go to their data center, and from their data center, it'll be forwarded to where I am sending the signal or where I want to retrieve content.
And it moves where, via the cables under the ground?
So it depends. So for example, if I want I'll make a good example. So if you look at the local, so I want to access stuff that we're recording now, and at some point you will upload this recording, and I want to access that. Your studio has got a data center. So it could be here, or it could be at some central data center like a Teraco, which is really where a lot of the operators house their infrastructure.
Gotcha.
Right. So if it is here, I do not need to go internationally to access this content. So I'll go to that tower. That tower, because of the IP address, I'll punch in there. I want to access powerfm.co.za so I can download a podcast. When it gets to that studio, it'll be told, no, but Power FM is in Houghton at this address. So that's where you're going to get the content. Mm. Then we now come to your web server here in studio. And that's where I then get the content. But if I want to access content, that now I want to see what's happening in Ukraine and Russia, and I want to watch that live, that content isn't locally available. So I need to access some studio in, maybe it could be Germany, Russia, or wherever, even in the Ukraine is where I need to access it. That process becomes a little bit longer, but you don't notice it as a user. But there, the information will literally travel probably about 20 hops. So the hops are these points where it gets forwarded. So it'll leave your studio to that tower, to Teraco in Isando. From Teraco Isando, it gets forwarded to Europe. From Europe, it gets forwarded to London International Exchange. Then from there, it gets to where it could be DW, where you're accessing the contents. Then it gets to their servers. But all of this happens in microseconds and literally milliseconds. You don't notice it.
So when you speak, don't you feel like you're in class?
I love it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in school. All right. Talk to us about and expound, because there has been this ongoing, well, people already saying, can we please get the visitor's contact details? I wanted an IP address for my SIM and all that kind of stuff. So we'll get to your calls. And if you've got a question as well for Mantla Ngobo, the founder and the CEO of Accelerated Technologies, 0861987000. I think class is in session. If you ever wanted to know about the internet, the functionings of the internet, what do we need to do, the security behind it? And when everybody keeps speaking about this term spectrum, sometimes these terminologies fly over our heads and we're not included as a South African public. So it's like conversations that are happening between Cell C, Vodacom, MTN, and a couple of media, a couple of media houses. And that's where the conversation stops. Yeah. And a lot of us are sitting back and going, what the heck are they talking about? Mm. What is the spectrum? How can it apply to me? All that and more. Hold your thought. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the issue of, when people are talking about spectrum and these major companies are fighting over spectrum, what exactly is it? It is 27 minutes after 2 o'clock. Listen, we're in class this afternoon. We're finding out about the internet. How do we make the internet? How do you make Wi-Fi? www. How do you make that thing? And how do you make it exist? And because we've got Mandla Ngobo, the founder and CEO of Accelerate Technologies, and we're going to go a little bit after the news in terms of exactly what does Accelerate Technologies do? What does it do, and how is it that you get to be a part of this global movement? It's a digital movement, love digital movements, but it's an entrepreneur who, after leaving his job as IT, pursued this entrepreneurial journey. And I believe you've got a total, is it 34 employees so far? How many employees do you have so far?
Yeah, so we're approaching 50 now. Yeah.
You're approaching 50 employees so far. Yeah. And you know what he does for a living? He makes the internet. Right? It's the simplest way I can, you know what? Sometimes we need to get rid of the fluff.
Sure.
The way in which you are hiring 50 employees is because you make the internet.
100%.
Today we're finding out, how do we make the internet? Because I'm sure Refula Matsila would want to go home now and she's going to want to cook up her own internet. She's going to want to make her own internet. You know, different. All of us want to make our own internet. So how do we do it? Talk to us a little bit about this concept of spectrum. It's a high level conversation, oftentimes leaving out the masses, right? And it's always about this one's fighting for this license and this one's put a hold on this court case and whatever.
Yeah.
And many of us are sitting back and going, what are these people fighting over?
Sure.
What are they fighting over? What is spectrum?
All right. So we spoke about connecting people wirelessly and through cables for them to be able to consume local and international content. So spectrum speaks to where there aren't cables. How do I still transmit information? Right. So the only way to do that where there aren't cables. So there could be a number of reasons why there aren't cables. Could be it's very remote. It's very costly to get to that area. Mm-hmm. There aren't enough people. Therefore, and another option to do that is by using wireless, what we call microwave signals. So you then connecting, you're saying, I'm going to put a base station from, so that is about 100 kilometers away from my data center, which is in Johannesburg, because I want to be able to service what currently looks like a very concentrated set of users, which doesn't justify me digging and putting fiber or copper into the ground that spans 100 kilometers, right? So there are many ways you can communicate. You can do it via cable. It's obviously a lot more secure, but it's susceptible to other things. Or you can do it wirelessly.
24 minutes to go before the top of the hour. It's a class that is in session, really. We're getting to understand all about the internet spectrum, How does it work? How do you get it into your home? How do you get it from your phone to send a signal? How do the towers work? What's the role of the towers and the like? Because sometimes these conversations need us to go back to the basics in order to understand it and unpack it in its entirety. Well, Mandla Ngobo, founder and the CEO of Accelerate Technologies, which we'll get into in just a moment, joins us in studio for this conversation. He's been schooling us thoroughly. And of course, if you've got a question for him, 0861987000. You were expanding just a little bit before we went into the news around spectrum.
Yeah.
And you were saying that these are microwave
signals.
Yeah. So these are microwave signals that are there that you establish when you don't have the physical cables that are running at a particular point. So let's say, hypothetically speaking, there's no cable running in Soweto.
Yeah.
And I want to get signal in Soweto or fiber in Soweto.
Yeah.
Instead of using the copper cables that run underneath, I then use microwave signal.
Microwave, yeah. Yeah, 100%. So spectrum really is, or the allocation, the process of the allocation of spectrum. If you think about it with copper, or with anything physical for that matter, if I I've put down my cable that goes from here to Soweto, it's very difficult unless it's purposeful for someone to tap into my cable and try and use it to send information to their client base. Mm. And there could be a number of reasons. It's because now you can't guarantee the quality of what's being sent, because Mandla is also sending. Now you're tapping into this thing and you're also sending. And therefore, you will, instead of you using the same cable, you'll want to dig right next to mine and put your own cable that goes to Soweto, right?
Okay.
So now there's two cables that are going there.
Yeah.
But how do we do this in a virtual environment or a wireless environment? And this is what ICASA controls. That's what's called a spectrum. So all a spectrum is then it says that you can use, as Vodacom, this is your allocated highway in the cloud or microwave wireless, which is allocated specifically to you. It means that you can control the quality of service that you're distributing to your users, right?
Because it's like an area that you get that gets given to you. It's like land.
Yeah.
Land expropriation.
100%.
So they're giving you a piece of land.
Yeah. But in call it space in the cloud, microwave. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. So it's an allocation. So when someone wants an allocation of spectrum, they want this virtual highway which only they can use for the purpose of servicing their users. Now that's valuable that you have only what you can use. Because I'm gonna try and not make it too complicated. But if you think about it, there's two versions of the spectrum. So there is what is called a licensed spectrum, which means that this only Faith can use. We're licensing it to Faith, and no one else can use it. If you're found using it, you're gonna be heavily penalized. Mm-hmm. And there is what is called an unlicensed spectrum, which is how the Wi-Fi signal in your house works.
That's unlicensed.
Unlicensed.
So I can make it.
Well, you can use unlicensed spectrum to distribute signal. But more often than not, that it becomes susceptible to interference, because a lot of people use that, right? So if you don't have a license, you don't have 5 billion like these guys paid now for the spectrum, Vodacom and MTN. You know, they paid a lot of money for that, but it's because there is a business case around it for them, all right? They're already servicing millions of people, so this is stuff that payback maybe 5 years. But unlicensed, anyone can go and use this thing to send a signal. So that's issue number one, is if I'm selling you and I'm saying to you, Faith, I'm giving you 100 Mbps line. So if you understand the concept of speed, so this is the service or minimum quality of service that I'm going to give to you. I can't guarantee that if I'm using something that is unlicensed, because the following day you can have someone else trying to send their signal down the same pipe.
Which is then going to block my signal and make it slower.
Issues. Yeah, makes it slower.
But if it's licensed, piece of land, I look at things simply. So if they're giving me a piece of land in the air where I get to then use my microwave signals to feed my consumers,
100%.
That means that that highway, which it could be what, 100 kilometers, how many kilometers per, how many kilometers?
So if it's national spectrum, it means anywhere in South Africa that belongs to you.
anywhere in South Africa belongs to me.
Yeah.
They can give me a piece of land anywhere in South Africa and they say, you can have, do they give it provincially? Do they say, you can have the spectrum license, license spectrum for usage anywhere in Gauteng or usage anywhere in the Northwest or usage?
Yeah, so the licensing regimes differ, right? So there's licensed, but there is licensed which is also shared. So the license that is shared, like an 11 gig spectrum. So, okay, let's maybe stay away from gigs. So there is a piece of highway, the N1, that I'll say, okay, well, between Johannesburg and Pretoria, you can share the highway. So I'll make it available to a number of U service providers. So gotcha. That is provincial.
Yeah.
But I can also, as a Icasa, say, no. Or rather, as Vodacom, you'll go and say, no, I want something that I'll use nationally because my users are not only in either Johannesburg or Pretoria, but they nationwide. Mm. And I don't want them to have to change their SIMs or whatever so that they can receive this different signal. I want it to be uniform. I want it to be known that this signal belongs to Vodacom. If anyone is found on it, they have to pay a heavy price. But also equally, I can guarantee the service that I'm giving to my users. So that is what's referred to as a national spectrum, so national license.
Got you.
So you can apply for either. But obviously these big guys go for national.
Put on your headsets. We're going to go to the phone line 0861-987-000. We've got Mandla Ngobo in the studio. Do you have questions? We're getting to understand the internet in its finite form, basically. In the basics. We're taking it back to school. Tabo and Mamelodi. Hi, Tabo.
Hi, Faith.
Yes, sir.
Faith, I have an IT company, Faith, and then it's more about, you know, I'm always thinking big because of I want to grow big.
Mm.
And then the question that I have for your guest is that, is there a space for the small players in terms of putting towers? Because of what they know is that the signal moves in certain angles. So, and then I think that these big giants, you know, have occupied those spaces. Is there a way, or is there a space for us, if we want to go to grow big, to be able to put our own tower so that we can be able to create our own internet? Or is it that these big companies have come up with an issue of gatekeeping yet again? Because of, you know, faith in signals like DSTV, you can even look at those dishes.
Mm.
There's a certain angle that the network is going through, but is it the same in internet?
Oh, that's interesting, Tabo Mamelodi. Space for industry players, new industry players for their own towers. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, no, so there definitely is room and there are quite a number of players entering the market now. You know, with each year that passes, Icasa will share with you the stats, but there's probably hundreds of applicants so that want to provide connectivity. So if we divorce that from wired wireless, just talking connectivity, there's quite a number of players entering the market. If I understand your question, so I think it's actually two questions in one. So the one speaks to how the likes of MultiChoice procure capacity to be able to broadcast nationally. So that is a slightly different technology. That speaks to your dish faces in a particular angle because it needs to communicate to something that is orbiting in space. So there's literally something orbiting which this your dish sends a signal to, either requesting information or sending information. Then it comes back to the MultiChoice data centers, could be in Randburg, could be at Terracode, or they could be distributed anywhere in the world. And then that information gets sent back to you. Right. So there's one way that they're doing it. And for them, it makes sense because with that, then you're not limited to a certain geography. You can literally not only cover South Africa, but you can cover the continent. And this is what they're doing through the capacity that they've procured from the likes of Intelsat and those guys that play in that space where, you know, it's 'cause you've got companies that focus on these orbiting satellites, and they give you connectivity through those. So similar to what ICASA does for these land-based base stations or towers, there is also what happens in space. Now, you can also establish your own wireless. This concept used to be really, really popular back, I think, late in the 90s, early 2000s, which was referred to as wireless user groups. So it's literally a bunch of people that will come together on this unlicensed spectrum that I spoke to you about.
Mm-hmm.
They would have towers scattered around, and they would then expose servers. So you would have your server that's got music that you want to share or content that you want to share.
Mm.
And it'll be circulated through these wireless user groups, all without having to own a license, by the way, because you know, the nature of it is that it's unlicensed. So you can create this. But as soon as you want to monetize it, then you need a license.
It's all about making the money. Yeah. Deboho and Centurion, hi.
Hey, Faith, good afternoon.
Hi.
Your guest just touched on the point that I wanted to my comment, because you kept on asking about creating our own internet. And I wanted to say, yes, we can create our own off-grid mesh communication system using a very cheap ESP32 LoRa bots, which costs about 500 to 1,000 rand maximum, you know. And each one of us, if they have it, I mean, they use the 868 megahertz and the 915 megahertz, which is an unlicensed spectrum, and which mostly people don't use. And I mean, you can even communicate with people overseas if you extend the mesh network. And it helps also in your area topic about off-grid stuff like building boreholes.
Mm.
You can also have, when you have cases of disaster, communication system that you can utilize when the mainstream communication systems are down.
So and we're using the LoRa boards to make the WWW, basically.
You make the LoRa boards in your own house. Everyone has, like I say, it costs about 500 rands. I mean, then we can communicate. The same analogy is used, I mean, even in the dark web, the Onion router, where you can even host your own a web server in a Raspberry Pi in your house, and no one would know exactly where it is located because it's rooted in the Onion network.
Is it legal?
Yes, it's legal. Yes, Onion, the dark web.
You guys are laughing.
It's legal. I mean, most governments are use it. It was also originally developed by the U.S. Army to communicate secretly, so that their communication cannot be detected and people detected where exactly they are located.
That was a cheer, and thank you very much. I love learning this stuff. This stuff is really cool. What's a LoRa board?
So a LoRa is basically low in terms of the consumption of power. So it is, if you talk about IoT, so the Internet of Things, and I have a need to send information that someone is tampering with a manhole somewhere. I want to send a signal to my monitoring or command center somewhere in town so that we can react. So these boards were developed because of their efficiency in terms of the consumption of power, right?
Mm.
So, but the disadvantage with them is that, and purely because of the spectrum that they operate on, is that you can't send a lot of information through them. You can only send signaling information. So it's like an SMS.
Gotcha.
It just says that this thing is moving or it's not moving, or the temperature is this, the temperature is that. So
it's like getting a Nokia 3310.
Yeah, even more primitive, actually. But it does what it's meant to do, because they're designed to consume less power so that I can take it and put it on a rhino somewhere and let the rhino roam around for 10 years and I don't have to change battery on that thing.
Okay. Accelerate technologies. Talk to us a little bit about it. How you went from going into the point where you've got you as a consultant and you're working for a company to now running a company where you're supplying this, fiber or WWW for that matter, and you've got about 50 people in your company. Take us through that journey.
Sure. So, for me, it was an experience that I personally went through trying to get connectivity. So we spoke earlier about how you can have your own web server.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you're based. You create content and it's consumed internationally. So it came out of that. Right now, well, back I think mid 2005, 2006, it was very difficult for anyone to do that. So you had to firstly have a telecom line that comes to your house. Mm-hmm. So already I've cut out quite a number of people because, you know, the lines that like physical lines were very limited at the time.
Yeah, the lines that go that one.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Yeah, and also there wasn't a lot of stuff you can do with your phone. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it was very limited. You could just maybe play fancy ringtones, but that was it. So, but upon realizing the power of the internet and connectivity when I went to varsity and when I started working, I appreciated that there's, because it's so difficult to connect, there is a significant section of the world or of South Africa that has been cut out of what I could clearly see as the next evolution in terms of industry creation,
yeah.
markets, business opportunities, you know. And so I thought I need to find a way to make internet accessible to the masses, right? So simplifying that entire process. So that's number one. And then number two, the markets, because right now, for or back then, for a studio to exist, it had to be in Sandton where there is proper connectivity and infrastructure around it. I couldn't do this back home where I come from, Newcastle, because there's very limited connectivity. So quite literally what it means is that whatever innovation I want to introduce, I must come here, and it's going to benefit Johannesburg. So what does that do? Now, Johannesburg becomes this hub where everyone wants to come to, but we're not developing our areas back home, right? So you've got this flight of experience, innovation, leaving where we're from, and it's now concentrated in Johannesburg.
Mm, it's an oversaturated market that is small.
100%, 100%, yeah. So you know, it was born out of that. And just put it simply, looking at how do we decentralize markets and access to information.
Okay. Then how did you make the internet available to everybody else? Because you've just given us a lesson now in terms of if you want to be able to have your own connectivity, sure. you must be able to connect to the fibers themselves,
yeah.
right? And the
yeah.
cables, and then you've got the licensed spectrum, and then
sure.
you've got the unlicensed spectrum. So how then did you journey on making the internet accessible to all? Did you have to down sure. put in those fiber cables
yeah.
in the most remote places? Or did you go to the spectrum route where you've got the digital microwave the signals that you just bought into?
So it was a combination, right? So having understood the complexities, so what we explain now,
yeah.
you know, is exposing a simple clip onto millions of people. Having understood that and what is involved in between, I then took it on my end to go through the pain and then expose it to people in a way that makes sense to them, that's easy to them. So people understood vouchers at the time. So what, mm-hmm. so one of the projects that before leaving where I worked, so I went on a sabbatical 3 months. I spoke to a satellite service provider and I said to them, I need connectivity in rural KZN, Mdozo. So we go there, the guys came, put a satellite which connected back to my server in Johannesburg, and that server, I could then run things like vouchers on it, where all of this transparent to the people that are connecting. So now you've got this remote, I won't even call it a town, I mean, it's like a village, this mm-hmm. remote village that a person can get a coupon, 10 rands coupon, and they have half a gig of information that they can use on my hotspot. So these were still hotspots, but they were at least scattered around the township, right? It was a little bit better than someone having to go to town.
Yeah.
Because now I must spend, I must go to town.
It's like a big hotspot.
100%, yeah. Outdoor hotspot, right? Where you don't need to go into someone's house or someone's into a computer cafe. You could just, wherever you're picking up this signal, you connect either via your phone or your laptop, you can connect. And as soon as you connect, so the same thing that you see when you're connecting on this hotspot in the shopping malls. Mm. It'll ask you for a code. You put in that code, then it gives you access. That was it.
Smart. Yeah. Mandla Ngobo, founder and the CEO of Accelerate Technologies. I feel like I was in school today, and thank goodness for that. Now we understand a little bit better how we actually receive signal. How does the internet work? What are we talking about when we're talking about spectrum? How many of these, because I mean, I'm sure now you've had to acquire and you have to get a license in order for you to operate. And the simplest way I can think of it is to operate these massive hotspots, right? So obviously, I'm sure they knocked on your door and said, hey, license.
Yeah.
But how many do you have now?
Yeah, so we operate nationwide, and it's not only through hotspots. Yeah. So we've got physical. So anywhere where there is fiber, where you see people digging, we provide services on their network.
Oh, okay.
So we've partnered with quite a number of FNOs. So FNOs are just fiber network operators, but we've also got our own infrastructure scattered around Johannesburg and some parts of KZN. So this is, yeah, it's meshed into our national a network right now.
But it says something about being able to have a mixed bag if you're going to be a data supplier in this country. How do you start playing around with the likes of Vodacom and the, all the big telco establishments as well that are trying to get their foot in the door? Because, honest fact, you're seen as a competitor now, a very upcoming, powerful competitor.
Yeah. So look, I mean, it all starts with getting a license, right? So I think you obviously have to get your own license. So that's all. So that ICASA allows you, because as soon as you start selling data, then you need a license, and that license dictates where you can provide information. But so there's, if you've got a passion for it and you've got a clear vision, I think it's absolutely possible, and the market is opening up to that. So if you look at what ICASA is doing through the initiative where each household is going to be allowed a certain amount of data, right? Whether affluent or not, I think it's a step in the right direction, because that's going to create industries and therefore demand for the services that we provide.
We leave it there. Mandla Ngobo, founder, CEO of Accelerate Technologies, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. And thank you for being a great teacher. I think we understand a little bit about where the World Wide Web all comes from, and how is it that we went from Morse code, so as it were, to finding ourselves being able to punch something, and in a split second, all is being supplied. And this is where we leave it for this edition of Power Lunch.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.